Welcome to For the Health of It with Dr. Jenny Brooke. You're listening to raw talk about full potential living to inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better.
Hello, everybody. It's so good to be on the air. I'm here with our co-host, Kristen Myers.
Hello.
Kristen. And we have a guest today. We have Lois Herman. Hello, Lois.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're here. I'm going to read your bio so our listeners know who you are. Lois Herman is a luminary in holistic wellness, blending ancient wisdom with modern science, a board-certified hypnotist, certified hypnosis instructor, NLP trainer, and energy clearing and alignment master. She's the visionary founder of the Academy of Light. With decades of experience as a corporate leader and diagnostic medical pioneer, Lois guides profound transformation through coaching, training, and captivating presentations. An accomplished author, she shares insights through the Chronicles of Hope books and inspiring articles. Host of Inspiring Hope podcast and Warrior Truth from Beyond TV show, Lois radiates positivity, empowering others to embrace the present and manifest lasting success. She's a beacon of hope, illuminating pathways to personal growth and fulfillment. Oh, that's
amazing.
So on right there. And you know, like anything, this is how these shows come to be. Recently, Lois and I collaborated on a health project, and we got into this great discussion on the body's healing ability. And we get maybe 10 minutes into just having this just exciting discussion, and I said, this needs to be a podcast. So we scheduled it right then and there. Do you remember that conversation?
I do. Yes. It's fun to have those spontaneous conversations and try to replicate it. This will come out differently, and it's perfect by design.
That's exactly right. Well, I think you know when there's an alignment.
Yes.
We started to feel this excitement talking because I'm like, you think that way too? Yes, I think that way. And then you would give me stories about in your career that were so similar to stories that I've had with patients. So I thought I would do some prompting questions, and then our goal today is just to see where this goes.
Sounds fun.
So I thought we would talk about what factors play a role in a person's healing.
Mm.
Right? Because why does someone spontaneously heal and someone doesn't? Or why is it we heal really fast one time and another time we don't? We have a sniffle and by the next day we're fine. Other times we're down for 3 weeks. What are some of the factors that make a difference? For example, stress. Right? How much stress we're feeling at that time and how much is seeping into our life. What other thoughts come to mind?
And stress can be manifested on different levels.
Yes.
One of the things that the guides have shared with me is that we need to manifest healing on all four levels. So many people are focusing on one or two levels. Do you know what I mean by levels?
Yeah, tell us what you mean.
Physical.
Yes.
People are they're all about their physical. Or their mental, which is part of, has been my specialty for years, is working on in the mental. So you've got physical stress, you've got mental stress. You also have emotional stress, and that's different than mental. That's the heart stress. That's where your heart is wounded by a pet dying, a person who says something that hurts your heart. That's different than the mental pressure stress. So the emotional stress is another one. And then there's the spiritual stress that we're all feeling on this planet right now. So we have to be mindful of taking care of managing the stress, if you're just using stress as an example, on all four levels.
And I think you're right. I think stress can be some, all those different layers of stress, we can be aware of some, and we can have others there that we're not aware of. And I see that in patients where maybe you'll tap in just a conversation that there's, yes, there's some stress, say emotionally, but then they immediately shut it back down because one, there's either fear to open it up, like what would happen, or embarrassment even, or I just don't know how to handle that emotion. So it's easier to avoid thinking or feeling the emotion.
I think it can take a lot of vulnerability to really open yourself up to feel it all and express it all and see what comes up and comes out.
And it's interesting because in an office like ours, you would say, oh, that's not necessarily your role. My role is physical, right? It's never, ever,
never
that simple. And, you know, so you have this kind of interesting relationship you develop with a patient. And maybe, especially in that special moment or private moment, you can kind of prompt or leave space for someone to express. But that's where we need all forms of healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
We need
Absolutely.
Support in more than just the physical.
And your office does provide more than just the body physical. You're doing mindfulness coaching. You are also encouraging people to drink water. It's not just chiropractic adjustment.
Sure.
You've got supplements. You're teaching people how to care for the body, body, mind, spirit, all levels. Because I know you see somebody, if they're stressed, they're all tense. The body can't function because the stress just tightens everything down. So inviting them to own part of it. This was another conversation that we just had, mm-hmm. is that some people are not ready to heal because they're not taking responsibility for their healing. You can do everything in your power to adjust and to help to realign them. Mm-hmm. But if they don't accept that this is going to work and I can do my part in this, then what happens?
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about the other day, is also their, and which is maybe mental, their belief that they're capable of healing.
Correct.
You know, I find that something as simple as saying to a patient, I believe I can help you, mm-hmm. or I know you're in the right spot or the right place. Mm-hmm. This is healing. It's just taking time. Sometimes people just need to hear that. I had a situation quite a while back where, a long-term pain problem that I have enough maturity and experience to know that it's going to take a while, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes you can tear and really subluxate things in the body, and the healing time can take a while. So my job is to keep the patient in the raft, right? But the healing can be pretty slow, but you're healing. You're actually fixing the cause of the problem. You're not just covering it up. And so in this case, I sent the individual to a surgical consult, even though I knew it was extremely unlikely that they would be recommending surgery. I just needed them to know you're in the right place. And, you know, they came back to me and said, not only am I not a surgical consult, they meant my primary doctor said, you're better than you were before this all started. You're actually healing. And because that person had perspective, right? Where we're in the weeds, we're three times a week just trying to get this person to be able to walk. And they needed hope and perspective and multiple people to say, you're capable of healing. You are healing.
And I have to actually give you an experience that I had, where I was going to one chiropractor and I had an injured shoulder, and he did send me for a surgical consult, and they did want to do surgery on my shoulder, saying that I had a 75% tear of my anterior cruciate.
Yeah.
And I decided, yeah, not so much. I'm going to heal this naturally. And it was a chiropractor that healed me, coupled with, because I do, like you were saying, it takes multiple different types of treatments. So I also sought a laser therapist for the acute injury. And actually, this was when I was finishing up the books, mousing at the wrong, simple. It was a repetitive stress injury over many years of doing diagnostic ultrasound, moving my arm around, but also many years of writing books, mousing at the wrong height, ergonomics, simple
yes.
ergonomics. And between readjusting my ribs, my sternum, my scapula, you know, it wasn't just the shoulder. There were so many things out of alignment that I was actually able to give my shoulder the opportunity to heal itself with the chiropractic care and the laser therapy that was helping the inflammation. And it's amazing. I could not move my arm.
She's putting her arms over her head right now and waving them.
Yes. Yeah, it is amazing. So it does take belief and it takes perseverance.
I think sometimes there's just a decision, mm-hmm. right? Because when someone really decides, I want to feel better, function better, be better, there's a lot of avenues of healing. And if they're open, mm-hmm. so for example, we see this a lot in our practice. Kristen just finished leading a nutritional cleanse. And you know, someone might say, okay, if I take the next step, if I decrease inflammatory foods, maybe I'll even heal and feel at a higher level. And you just experienced that.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's every time I do a nutritional cleanse through the office, it's such a transformative experience for every single patient, and the feedback that I get and the positive effects that they're seeing on their body, it's amazing.
And that's what happens when you just take potentially inflammatory food out of your diet for several weeks.
Right.
The body starts to change. Mm-hmm. It starts to function better. And a common thing we hear is, I'm not in pain anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is one of the most common things. I have much more energy. I can think clear and I'm not hurting anymore. My joints aren't hurting.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. We learn to live with stuff. And you know, here's the thing, is we're all going to have stress. but this decision of how we decide to look at the stress. So for example, a colleague of mine said to me once, he's just like super positive all the time, almost to the point of, how do you do that? And he was telling me about something that had happened to him, and most people would be like, that's awful. And he was like, no, actually, so it was, you know, this was the experience. And I said, why are you so positive? And he said, well, I just made a decision a long time ago that life doesn't happen to me, it happens for me. And I don't have to understand how it benefits me now, because maybe that's not something I'm meant to see, at least for a long time. But if I just assume, okay, that's not what I thought it would be, instead it's this, I crashed my car, I didn't realize I'd have to get a rental, and I'd be, well, that's just what happened. It happened for me for some reason, and that's just what it is. And instead of, oh, this happened to me and now I'm so depressed and this was awful.
Right.
And, you know, it's easy for me to just say this. I understand we all have layers of things that happen in our lives, and it would feel almost like you just want to slap me across the face if I said, well, you know, that's happening for you, and it's something really awful. So I'm not saying you all need to adopt this thinking. But for me, on a day-to-day basis, all the little things that happen day in and day out, I really try to think, okay, I'm in traffic right now. I might be late to work. It's happening for me. I'm not sure. Am I meant to just have a few more minutes to rest in the car? Or am I avoiding some type of traffic problem? Or the team needs a minute without me? Like, we just don't know.
Right.
One of my favorite things to say in a situation like that is, something good will come of this.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
That's a favorite. I work with a lot of people who have had chronic mental gyrations, and it really takes an effort, like your friend, your colleague that made the decision. It's hard for somebody who has in that monkey
cycle.
Mind,
yes.
That cycle of negative, to do a pattern interrupt, and sometimes it seems a little rude, but stop, let's rethink that. How might you like to think? Because they're so used to thinking a certain way, it's foreign. It's like when you do a physical adjustment on the body, it feels awkward at first because this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel normal for me.
Change.
It's a pattern change. So in the mental, emotional level, we've got to do a pattern change. Mm-hmm. Consciously take hold of that, shifting from the subconscious negativity to conscious negativity. Oh, I'm thinking it again. Time to change. And then once you've got the conscious negativity, you're aware of it, now you change it to a consciously adopting a positive. I'm going to think of something different. Ultimately, the goal is to have it be like your colleague. Subconsciously, we automatically shift the negativity. But it takes work for people. They cannot go.
It is a muscle to build in your brain.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so true. Another way that I've thought about this is I like to come to the conclusion that serves me. Okay, I'm in traffic right now. Okay, the conclusion that would serve me is I'm meant to stop and rest a little bit while I'm driving and just, you know, go to that place where I'm relaxed. I'm not meant to be at work going into like crazy mode right away. The conclusion is I'm in traffic because I need another minute to just rest in my car as I drive to work. Again, come to the conclusion that serves you.
Yes. Yeah. I like that.
I think it's so true. So what can we control in healing? We can control how we perceive stress. We can control how we talk to ourselves in our brain. We can control how we spend our days, whether it's serving our body or not serving our body. So what we eat, how we sleep, how we manage stress.
Who we interact with.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's huge, because if you're interacting with a lot of negative people, it's hard to stay positive. If you've got family members that you know you've got to call and they're really dour and negative, the beautiful thing about the cell phone is, oh, sorry, I'm losing you. I'll call you later. So one of my favorite things to say when a lot of people have a hard time, especially givers, have a hard time saying no. But they can say, not now. I'll call you back. Can't talk right now. I'll call you back. So you recognize when the person is starting to drain your energy, starting to interrupt your positive energy, because it's like an energy feeder that's draining you. Notice that and don't let it continue. That's not fair to you. You are the keeper of your body, your energy. I like to say we protect ourselves. If there's a storm out, we're going to put on boots, hats, gloves, coats to protect our energy, our physical body. But people don't recognize that we need to protect our physical energy because we're energy generators.
Sure.
And if we don't protect our energy, it gets drained and other people will subconsciously or consciously drain your energy. So you have to recognize this is not feeling right. Pay attention to your barometer, your heart. Typically, it's your heart, your stomach. This doesn't feel right. Pay attention to that. And then just not now. Push pause. Separate, distance yourself from that person, limit yourself to toxic people, places, and things. Turn off the TV, the negative news. You don't have to listen to that. You can skim things and get a perspective of what's going on, but even then, counteract it with 3 positive things.
Yeah.
If you stick in that negative, it will drain you. And then what happens if you're drained in that spiritual energy? You ultimately will feel it in the mental, emotional, and physical.
That's so true. And let's talk about what to do in the moment where you can't easily stop or walk away or say not now. I also believe there's a way to visualize you're protecting yourself.
Mm.
So darts are coming at you, but you have your metaphorical Teflon shield on, so
yes,
they just kind of pierce you and fall right to the ground.
Yep.
So your protective energy around you, so you can be in that moment if you can't not be in the moment, right? But you keep yourself protected.
You are singing to the protective bubble lady here.
Is there a way that you describe how to do that?
I teach this to all of my clients.
Ooh, okay,
absolutely.
Teach us.
Well, there's 2 things. And many, many years ago, 30-something years ago, a priest taught me to do this from my soon-to-be ex-husband, who was adept at sending daggers and darts, and I could feel them. And he taught me to bubble up. And so I would bubble up, and I would bubble up my children, bubble up my car, bubble up my house. And so it's just a vision that you have that Teflon shield. Whatever you want to envision it, bubble it up, glow from within, breathe and glow your energy. Put that shield around you with a reflective coating that only sends positive. It deflects yes. anything away. Never send negative because it comes back. So you want to only send positive. Then you put a high vibrational hum. That's actually in book 1. They put a high vibrational hum that is disturbing to some negative vibrational energies.
Okay.
And then you use St. Germain's violet flame, self mode, so people can't find you. Where'd she go? And it's
like an invisibility cloak.
It's Harry Potter's invisibility cloak. Yes.
But yeah. That's something you can do. So I didn't do that exact thing, but I was on an airplane recently. And you know how maybe you've been on a flight before? For me, it was last year. I was on a really shaky, for me, scary flight. Like you're grabbing the person next to you and you're holding on to each other. And it was just really severe turbulence, but I hadn't been in that type of experience for at least a long while. Anyway, I was shaken. Like I didn't really want to get back on a plane anytime soon, but you know, eventually you do. So what I have done and what I just did recently was you can tell you're coming in for a landing. You can see the runway. I am surrounding myself with white light, the people around me, the stewardess, the pilot, the plane with white light, and it's just being floated down onto the ground in this white light. And as soon as I mentally did that, I felt my body relax.
Absolutely.
Because I made a decision. I came to the conclusion that if I do this, then I am safe and I was safe. But that's what I had to do for me to not feel freaked out that last minute of the plane landing.
And it takes the collective freaking out that creates the disturbance. So if you start the wave of peace, that's also contagious. You're starting that little ripple of peace from you, and then it ripples through. Have you been on a plane with a crying child?
Yes. My crying child.
One of my favorite things to do is to send love to the mother.
Yes.
Because the mothers, those of us that have had and dealt with crying children, it's embarrassing. You're in this thing, and oh my God. So the baby is picking up on mama's anxiety.
Yes.
So I've played with this before. Just send love to mama and let her calm down. Then all of a sudden, before you know it, baby's calm.
That's so kind of fun.
Yes.
It is fun. What a fascinating conversation. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we have our guest, Lois Herman. And we're going to be talking about language around healing.
You're listening to Raw Talk About Full Potential Living for the Health of It. Your host is Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at SCC Chiropractic and Vitality Studio in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you are in the Southern New Hampshire area, mention this podcast and schedule a health checkup at SCC for special podcast pricing. Call or text 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about SCC, go to sccvitality.com or call 673-5600. Learn about wellness chiropractic, massage therapy, the naturopathic doctor, red light therapy, and more. Now back to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
We are back and we're talking to Lois Herman, who I have to say, she is certified in neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP. I just find this fascinating. I love it. And it really meshes with this idea of what language we decide to use when we're talking about healing. So Lois, give our listeners a little sense of what NLP is.
So neuro-linguistic programming, the neurology of our body, is affected by the linguistics, the words we speak, see, think, and feel. The linguistics affects our neurology, and we are programmed to react by certain triggers. We can then, once we're conscious of what we are speaking and how we're saying it, we can change it. For instance, one of my favorite things is how many people knot themselves. The subconscious mind does not know the meaning of the word knot. Don't think about Christmas. Don't think about snow. Don't think about taking a vacation.
All the brain hears is think about snow.
Exactly. So knot is a non-word. And so if we are telling ourselves an affirmation that I am not going to smoke, I am not going to do this, then the subconscious hears, oh, let's just go ahead and smoke.
Yeah.
So we have to be very conscious and very aware of the words we tell ourselves and others.
So do you want to hear something Kristen and I hear a lot of in today's world, especially from women? They're doing the new patient exam, for example. They say, I'm a
hot mess.
Yes. See? Yes. We get that all the time. I'm just a hot mess. Almost like it's a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to help this patient change that label they've put on themselves, because mm-hmm. how are they going to heal mm-hmm. if they've made a decision that I'm a hot mess?
Right.
Right? Because they don't want to be. I mean, there could be some level of that serving you if you decide that that's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's permission to not do everything that you're supposed to do. Maybe it's asking other people to do things for you. Maybe it's just a level of I giving up because I don't know what else to do, right? But really at the core, people want to feel whole and complete and with it and stable, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So what advice would you have for someone with that mindset?
Is to be aware of how you feel when you say it.
Okay.
And then shift. We're in control of our thoughts. We're in control of our words. It takes practice. It takes effort to make that change, just like we were talking about before, changing mm-hmm. the mindset in order to allow for positive to come in. We've got to leave the door open for the positive. I just finished an 8-week training, and this was for a lot of different practitioners. Anybody, everybody can use NLP skills, because it's how you relate, how you listen, how you read other people. So NLP is more, it's linguistics, but it's also listening to the unspoken word. You, as healing practitioners, you see somebody walk in the room, you can tell by the way they're carrying themselves, if they're exuberant and they're excited and they're happy, or they're really down and sad. You're reading them. What if you had even more skills to know how to get them to answer some questions, and which you already probably do innately because you've got that caregiving heart. But when we start to really listen from the heart and connect with people and read them, understand them, then we can help to shift. We can help them to reassess what they're saying and ask them, what if you could say that a different way? Is there a different way, something else you could call yourself that would be more uplifting? Do you mm-hmm. see how that hot mess, sometimes you were a hot mess. Are you always a hot mess? Or is it just certain times that you're a hot mess? What would you like to be instead?
I have
Get
one
them
woman
to think about that.
One woman I've gotten to change her language to, I am a healing, loving being.
Beautiful.
So she'll come in and say, I'm just, and I'll look at her and she'll be like, I'm a healing, loving being. And she'll lie on the table.
So great.
She has to believe it at some point.
Yes, at some point.
So there's the wanting, which is the lack of.
Oh, yes.
Then there's the believing that is at least a step in a direction. Ultimately, what we have to get to is the knowing. I know I am a healing, helpful being, but loving, I know that I'm here on a mission. I know that I'm healthy and happy. And when you have that knowing, then you're unshakable.
And I could see how that gap from being told to say this instead to really believing it could be really working with an NLP practitioner, tapping instructors. Also, mm-hmm. I could see a lot of that.
Absolutely.
Any type of therapy that helps you make different decisions about who you are. It can be a process. I think for some people, it can be a moment because mm-hmm. it's just language they're using without thinking about it. And then as soon as they realize they can say something else, they actually can believe it pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think other people, there's a lot of post-trauma.
Oh, yes.
And past wrapped around something that if they make an intention, I want to believe that I am a healing, loving being, and then they find someone to help them get there. I think deciding they want to is everything.
Absolutely. That's the first step. As you and I were talking, we can't fix someone. They have to want to make the change. And in the NLP training, it is about reading other people. But I also give 10 specific exercises. Some of them are just minutes long to help to shift the mind talk. Very simple exercises, NLP-based exercises that help people to look at things in a different way without having to go into deep, in-depth explanation. The mind will give them the answers if you give it the right question. So it's all about teaching people how to ask the questions, ask their own questions, and then make the shift. And NLP is fascinating.
And really, whether someone does that lying in bed at night, very quiet, asking themselves, or they meet with it's all about slowing down. Mm. You have to slow down and give space to sort out that thinking, mm-hmm. to realize what's underneath something. And being prompted by a professional is a wonderful way to do it. But it's even the, I just designated 1 hour, say, to talk with you. Mm-hmm. It's that slowing down. When you decide to give time and energy towards thinking differently, it will naturally happen.
It's amazing how it happens. One of my favorite things to do that you're talking about at night, many people ruminate at night, their mind spins about all of the woulda, shoulda, couldas of the day. What I encourage my clients to do is to go into a mindset of thinking about the best thing that happened. Now, you have to go through all the good things that happened. And so instead of the woulda, shoulda, couldas, you go through this all of the amazing things that have happened, but you have to pick the best one and then say, thank you, thank you, thank you for the best thing. And then your mind goes, ah, job well done. And they typically go off to sleep.
Nice. That is wonderful.
Yeah. Mm. I don't take credit for that. That's from a book called The Magic by Rhonna Byrne. And it's amazing how it works.
Kristen and I have had many talks about, you know, this quest or this journey towards trying to be not in our monkey mind, in our right mind on a day-to-day basis. And we've been using the phrase, set a good vibe, great vibes. Yes. That's what we want.
Yes.
But the decision, it gets easier the longer you're in it and the more you do it and the more you set this intention. But the ultimate reason and purpose is life just feels so much easier.
So true.
And better.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking recently about how we just, our whole intention in the office space is just good vibe, good vibe. And we all have worked towards just coming as our best self. Mm-hmm. And we had just what anybody else might see as the busiest day ever. At the end of it, we all just had so much energy and we were so happy because the whole day was wrapped in good vibe. And I'll work as hard as I need to work if I can be in an environment that mm-hmm. feels that good.
Exactly. And it doesn't even feel like work, right?
It does not feel like work.
It feels great.
And being around the people that make you feel great and the people that are fun to be around, you know, creating a team, creating a space for practice members like that has been really important to us.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's coming to fruition and it feels so good.
It does.
But that was an
amazing
intention, right?
Exactly.
Like that's like half of what we talk about when we talk about anything.
Yes. As well, too, when we were speaking to stress and how we react to things and how life is happening, for us and not to us. The more good vibes and the more you work on all of these things, you don't react as harshly anymore. Mm-hmm. Things just kind of like float right off you. It's definitely a transformation that happens.
I agree with that. Reactivity?
Yes.
Do I really need to get upset about that? It is what it is.
Oh, wait, like that didn't even bother me today. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, this whole, like, you know, when you go online and you go on social media, and a lot of it is just people being reactive to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of what the whole thing is. And we're actually going to be talking about that in the next podcast. But you realize you don't have to play in that game anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like that kind of ties into, Lois, what you were speaking to is what words you're seeing or surrounding yourself with, right? The news or what you're reading, what you're listening to, what you're seeing on social media.
And you do need to be aware of what's happening in the world, I believe. Mm-hmm. I turned off the TV several years ago, and I have other sources that I watch and listen to. And some of them are very dour and very heavy and very dark. And it's like, okay, I know that, but I don't have to prove it to myself. I don't have to prove that the sky is blue. Mm-hmm. This sort of stuff happens. It has been happening for many years. I don't have to just keep digging into it. I can see it. I can skim it. And now, okay, let me shift over to something that's positive, because the minute that I find myself going into that sad heart mode, because there's a lot of sadness out there, how am I going to facilitate for other people if I am in sad mode? It's kind of like the concept of, if somebody's drowning, you don't jump in with them. You throw them a lifeline. Right. You stay on solid ground. Those light workers of us, we need to keep our energy up. We have to find the tools to keep our energy buoyed up and that high, that great vibe, because we're here to help the others when they're ready. It's not going to serve us or them if we jump into that abyss with them.
Exactly.
There's a phrase, I can't, my increasing my sadness won't make your sadness go away.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can't want something for someone more than they wanted for themselves.
Right.
Very true. Mm-hmm. I've learned that in practice.
Oh, I bet you have. Yeah.
I've learned for myself, 8 p.m. is my cutoff point. After 8 p.m., I don't want to hear a story from my husband that is somewhat, you know, sad or difficult. I don't want to see anything on the TV. I'm not going to read anything in a mat. I good vibes from 8 p.m. on.
Yeah.
Happy, fun shows that maybe make me laugh, or a book that makes me feel good. That's it. I'll be fine going to bed. But if I watch some dark killing murder mystery show right before I go to sleep, I'm toast. Yeah. It's not good.
You're exactly right, because whatever you're watching before you go to sleep, you are setting the stage for your evening. And if you're watching something scary or disturbing, your mind is going to still continue to ruminate over that. So it's important. I'm the same. 8 o'clock is my couch time.
Yep.
That slow down, quiet. Meditate, read something inspiring, or just positive stuff.
And isn't that maybe one of the great things about getting older, is we learn those boundaries. Mm-hmm. We learned how to protect our energy. We learn how to recover from our day. We have more of a desire to stick to what we know we need to do to feel good.
And yet I look back and I'm not exactly sure how I managed to do what I did when I was raising my children.
100% get that. 100% get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You're in it. You're doing it.
Yeah. And we make mistakes, and that's okay. We're resilient. Our children are resilient, as long as we recognize and say, okay, I'm going to take a learning from this situation and let it go, instead of going back and recalling it, ruminating. If the past is gone, take the nugget that you learned from it and let it go, because being focused on the gift of the now, the present, the gift of today, this is all there is. So training my mind to be right here with you guys, this is the only moment there is right now, because then that makes every moment special.
Yeah.
Then that creates a ripple effect into the future.
Well, thank you for making these moments special with us.
Definitely.
I knew it would be a twist and turn of fun, and that's what it's been. If anyone would like to know more about Lois, she does have a website, loisherman.com. That's Herman with two N's, LOISHERMANN.com. You can find her on YouTube, on Telegram, on Rumble, and on GTV, Warrior Truce from Beyond.
Oh, yeah. That's my new show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for hosting. Thank you for the work that you're doing, both in physical with the people who come to you and set that beautiful energy, but also through these shows. I listened to a couple. There was one that I really loved, your story about, was it Blue Pajamas?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was a fabulous story. I have a similar story. That was so, I'm like,
Blue dye.
My goodness. Well, I had bloody rashes on my hands for several years, and I was eating as best I could. I was doing everything that I could. And I was like, why? I mean, I was wearing fingerless gloves because I was so embarrassed.
Oh, wow.
These rashes were burning at the evening. It hurt so bad that I would scratch and cry. I ended up going to the Mayo Clinic. This wonderful dermatologist sat down, took my hands in his, and said, "You're allergic to your environment. Something in your environment is creating this. Get rid of your downy. Get rid of all the chemicals in your world, and only use things like vinegar and anything natural. Get rid of it. Gone."
Did you ever figure out what exactly was the culprit?
The biggest culprit was the soap. I was working in a building at the time in a public restroom, and you know how you have that squirt stuff?
Oh, sure.
So as my hands started to heal, I would go in and I would do instinctively, I would do the squirt. The biggest spot was right there in the middle of my palm, and that was where you squirt that horrible caustic soap. And I had to stop that, and I carried my own natural types of things to wash my hands with. But it's amazing how I had been to dermatologists. They wanted to put me on drugs and all that stuff. But no, here this gentleman said, "Get rid of all of the toxins in your environment." So I listened to you and I'm like, oh, jeepers, so simple.
And it sounds like he gave you hope. He believed you could heal.
Right.
He gave you a path. It was cause, not covering symptoms. And look at that. The body healed.
Body healed itself. It's amazing. You have to give it the right environment. The whole thing about the fish tank, right? Mm-hmm. The sick fish in the fish tank. You know, you've got to treat the environment.
I love it. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host was Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at SCC Chiropractic and Vitality Studio in Amherst, New Hampshire. Mention this podcast and schedule a health checkup at SCC with special podcast pricing. To schedule, call or text 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about SCC Chiropractic and Vitality Studio, call 673-5600 or check out sccvitality.com. You can also find Dr. Jenny on Facebook at Spinal Corrective Center NH or Instagram at SCC_chiropractic. Thank you for listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.